Thank you. ಪಂಡಿತರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯವರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ್ಷಕ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಿತ್ಯಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯವರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀರ್ತನ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ ಕೀರ್ತನ ಯುಗಧರ್ಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕೀರ್ತನ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀರ್ತನ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ
ಸಾಧವ ಸಮ
ಸಾಧವ ಸಮ
ಯದಿ स्यात्सु वैषम्यम्
यस्यात्सु वैषम्यम्
मन्यान्ति शरणं प्रजा
मन्यान्ति शरणं प्रजा
प्रजानां पितरो यच्च
प्रजानां पितरो एष
सस्तारः साधवासमः
सस्तारः साधवः समः यदिष्यातेषु वैषम्यम्
गम्यन्ति शरणं व्रजः
गम्यन्ति शरणं व्रजः
सो वर्ड फॉर ओके
प्रजानां पितरो ये च यदेष्यातेषु वैषम्यम्
गम्यन्ति
शरणं व्रजः
प्रजानां पितरो ये च
शस्तारसर्वः समः यदिष्यातेषु वैषम्यम्
So now we will recite the word for word synonyms. Prajanam.
Prajanam.
Of the citizens.
Of the citizens.
Pitaraha.
Pitaraha.
Protectors.
Protectors.
Guardians.
Guardians.
Kings or government servants.
Kings or government servants.
Ye.
Ye.
Dehu.
Dehu.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Shastarah.
Shastarah.
Give instructions concerning law and order.
Give instructions concerning law and order.
Sadhavah.
Sadhavah.
Endowed with all good qualities.
Endowed with all good qualities.
Samaha.
Samaha.
Equal to everyone.
Equal to everyone.
Yadi.
Yadi.
If.
If.
Syat.
Syat.
There is.
There is.
Teshu.
Teshu.
Among them.
Among them.
Vaishamyam.
Vaishamyam.
Partiality.
Partiality.
Come.
Come.
What?
What?
Yanti.
Yanti.
Will go to.
Will go to.
Sharanam.
Sharanam.
Shelter.
Shelter.
Prajaha.
Prajaha.
The citizens.
The citizens.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A king or governmental official should be so well qualified that he acts as a father, maintainer, and protector of the citizens because of affection and love. He should give the citizens good advice and instructions according to the standard scriptures and should be equal to everyone. Yamaraj does this, for he is the supreme master of justice, and so do those who follow in his footsteps. However, if such persons become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent, blameless person, where will the citizens go to take shelter for their maintenance and security? Purport. The king, or in modern times, the government, should act as the guardian of the citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life. The human form of life is especially meant for realization of one's self and one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this cannot be realized in animal life. The duty of the government, therefore, is to take charge of training all the citizens in such a way that by a gradual process they will be elevated to the spiritual platform and will realize the self and his relationship with God. This principle was followed by kings like Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Ramachandra, Maharaj Amrish, and Prahlad Maharaj. The leaders of the government must be very honest and religious, because otherwise all the affairs of the state will suffer. Unfortunately, in the name of democracy, rogues and thieves
are electing other rogues and thieves to the most important posts in the government. Recently, this has been proven in America, where the president had to be condemned and dragged down from his post by the citizens. This is only one case, but there are many others. Because of the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, people should be Krishna conscious and should not vote for anyone who is not Krishna conscious. Then there will be actual peace and prosperity in the state. When a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart and tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Hare Krishna movement.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tada Mahyam Datati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vamcha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So at the very beginning of today's lecture, I would like to pay my most respectfully prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of their lordships Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, along with Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar, and all of their eternal associates like Shri Lalita Devi, Shri Vishakha Devi, Shri Rupa Manjari, Shri Rati Manjari, etc. I would also like to submit my respectfully prostrated homages unto the lotus feet of their lordships Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their eternal associates Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Sanatan Goswami, and all the other six Goswamis of Shri Dham Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very nicely propagated and dispersed the doctrine and gospel of Krishna consciousness, tinged with the pure devotional service and its mellows throughout the modern world in this present time. And conclusively, I would like to commence on the context under discussion, the context of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the topic of Ajamila and his deliverance by the Vishnu Dutas. So, let me briefly describe about the occurrences that have occurred so far and about the underlying intricacies behind this particular event described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sri Rishabhadev Goswami unto Maharaj Parikshit. So, Maharaj Parikshit had posed a question in front of his Shikshaguru, his spiritual master, his preceptor, Sri Rishabhadev Goswami, at the end of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. At the end of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami that actually Shukadeva Goswami had narrated upon the inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj, he had narrated all the different types of, all the varieties of hellish planets that are existing in the lowest part of this universe, at the very bottom of this universe. So, it is described while mentioning the universal planetary systems and the geographical position of all the different planets. Because this universe comprises, this universe along with all the other universes, innumerable universes, they comprise material world, also known as Bhautika Jagata, wherein the external potency of Sri Krishna, also known as Mahamaya, who is predominated by the goddess Durga, Bhagavati Durga. So this material world is known as Durga or a fortress, because in this material world, or because in this fortress of the form of this mundane world, all the living entities are bound and they stay, they inhabit here as captives, being completely arrested by the threefold chains of the material nature, which are the three modes of material nature. So in this material world, which is compared to a Durga, and because this Durga or fortress is supervised by, is directly controlled by the goddess Durga, that is why this material world is known as Durga and the goddess is known as Durga. So in this material world, this material world comprises of many innumerable universes, and each universe has all of the different types of planets within it, just like there are nine main planets also known as Navagraha. According to the Vedic astronomy, there are nine planets like Sun, beginning from Sun. Sun is the most primary type of planet. Sun, Moon, Jupiter, Venus, Saturn, etc. So there are nine planets, Surya, Chandra, Budh, Guru, Shukra, Shani, Rahu, Ketu, etc. And then there are 27 constellations, 27 nakshatra, 27 constellations there are, which are considered to be the daughters of Daksha Prajapati according to the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. These 27 daughters of Daksha Prajapati were given into the hands of the moon god, Chandradeva. But unfortunately, moon god or Chandradeva was prejudicial. He was more biased and affectionate and loving towards one of the 27 queens or wives of his, and whose name was Rohini. And that is why Daksha Prajapati had given curse to him, and then he had performed austerity and worshipped Mahadeva to get relieved of that curse of leprosy. So anyways, there are 27 constellations. And then there are Saptarishi planets also. Saptarishi planets or Saptarishi stars. There are seven main rishis, who had main sages, who had appeared as the sons of Brahma. After that, Narada and the four Kumaras appeared. because Narada and four Kumaras, they refused to become indulged onto the path of pravritti marga or the path of attachment, and rather they supported and they wanted to traverse on the path of detachment, that is the nivritti marga. So they say that, okay, Father, we will not marry. We will rather follow the path of detachment, the path of retirement, that is nivritti marga. We will not become indulged in the path of attachment, pravritti marga. So after that, Narada and the four Kumaras were made manifest by Brahmaji's mind, manasa srishti. This is mental creation. Brahmaji does not have any wife or any type of physical intercourse or mixture of different types of physical elements or items do not take place in that, in his creatory process. So Brahmaji, just by his mental volition, just by his own just on his own accord, just by his own independent self desire or wish, he produced these Narada and the four Kumaras, but they were not wanting to be engaged in the process of creation. So then Brahmaji produced seven rishis known as Sapta Rishis, beginning from Vasishtha, Atri, Gautama, Parashara, etc. So these are the seven rishis. And these seven rishis each have their own planet. And then their wives, like Arundhati is the wife of Vasishtha, Anasuya is the wife of Atri. So then the wives of these seven rishis, because these seven rishis were householders, they were not celibates like the four Kumaras or Narada. So these seven rishis had their wives, and these wives also have their own planets. So these Sapta Rishis, the planets of the Sapta Rishis, the planets of the wives of the Sapta Rishis, the nine main planets known as Sun, Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, etc., then 27 constellations, 27 stars, nakshatras, then there are 14 other planetary systems. Then among these 14 planetary systems, 7 planetary systems are considered downward or lower, 7 are considered higher or upward. So Sapta Urdhvaloka and Sapta Adholoka, they combine, 7 upper and 7 lower, they combine and become 14. So that is why this material universe is also known as Chaturdash Bhuvanatmak Brahmand. Brahmand means universe, because Brahmand means that egg in which Brahma resides as the supermost living entity, the foremost living entity. So that egg of material manifestation in which Brahma resides as the supermost controller is known as Brahmand, or Brahma's under, Brahma's shell. So in this Brahmand or universe, the upward planetary systems, they begin from the earthly planetary system, from the earth planet, and then they gradually go upward, and the planets, the heavenly planets, are also considered to be one of the upward planetary systems. Then comes Swargaloka. After Bhurloka comes Swargaloka. So after Bhurloka actually comes Swargaloka, or the sky, ether, and after ether comes Swargaloka or heaven. After heaven or Swargaloka comes many planets. Come many planets like Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapahaloka, Satyaloka, Siddhaloka, etc. And the Satyaloka, also known as Brahmaloka, the planet of Brahma, is considered to be on the topmost level in this universe. So there are 7 higher planetary systems beginning from the earth planet. And then there are 7 lower planetary systems which are also known as 7 types of netherlands, filthy planets. Just like Patal, Talatal, Sutal, Atal, Vital, Rasatal, etc. So these 7 downward planetary systems, the different types of living entities like Yakshas, different types of living entities who have power like the demigods, who are certainly more powerful than the human beings, who have power just like the demigods, but these living beings are considered to be rather in the mode of passion and in the mode of ignorance. Whereas the demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Surya, Agni, Brahma, they are considered to be on the level of mode of goodness. Because it is said in the Puranas that there are 3 types of species. the Deva Yoni, Manav Yoni, and Asura Yoni. So Deva Yoni means those species of the demigods who reside in heaven, celestial planets, who reside in paradise, Swargaloka. Then come the category of the human beings, or the Manav Yoni, and human beings reside on, no matter how many types of human beings there are, they all reside on the earthly planet. And then comes the Asura Yoni, or the demonic species. So Asura Yoni, or the demonic species, they reside in these netherlands. So the Asura Yoni are considered to be, the demonic species is considered to be, to have a mode of ignorance in prominence. And the Manav Yoni, or the human species, have more of passion in prominence. And the heavenly species, or the devatas, or the demigods of heaven, have a mode of goodness in prominence. That is why devatas are considered Satvika Yoni. Human beings are considered to be Rajasika Yoni. And then the asuras, or the demons, are considered to be Tamasika Yoni. So these Tamasika Yoni, or the asuras who are in the mode of ignorance, there are many different types, like yakshas are also considered one type of asuras. And there are many different types of asuras, like the nagas or the serpents. And even the pitaras, although pitaras are not considered to be asuras, but still they are considered to be in the mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And that is why the planets of the forefathers, Pitriloka, the planets of the forefathers, or the planets of the ancestors, and the planets of different types of serpents, Nagaloka, Pitriloka, and the planets of Yakshas, Yakshaloka, they are all to be found in these downward planetary systems known as Sapta Adho Loka. And beneath these seven downward planetary systems are found these 27 different types of hellish planets. And now a question arises, because in many different types of so-called artificially man-made faiths, in all these man-made faiths, also there is a conception of heaven and hell. Just like we can see that in many different man-made faiths, even if the God has given some commandments or some type of inspiration to the founders of those faiths are not to be considered Sanatana Vedic Dharma or eternal. Just like the Vedic Dharma is existing from time without beginning and will continue to exist. So it never ceases, it never is created, and it never ceases. But all these different faiths, they have a beginning in the history, they have a date in the history of beginning, and they also will cease to exist at some particular time. So in these different artificially man-made faiths, we can find that in all these different faiths, just like the Sanatana Vedic Dharma, there is a conception of hell and heaven. But their conception of hell and heaven is that the hellish planets, whoever performs sinful activities or vicious activities, whoever commits vices or sins, he will forever stay, he will on a perpetual basis, he will have to stay in the hellish planet. He will have to stay in the hell, he will be doomed to hell forever. And those living entities who perform pious activities or pious merits, punya karma, as contrast to the papis or the papa karmis, those who perform punya karma, those who are punya karmis, those who have acquired meritorious activities, pious activities, and those who perform yajna, dana, vrata, tapasya, etc. Although in these faiths there is no conception of yajna, dana, vrata, tapasya, but rather they consider social and philanthropic activities to be the pious activities. So anyways, all these pious activities, anyone who performs them, he will have to stay in paradise, in celestial planets, in heaven, in Swargaloka, forever. But this is not the conception being entertained by the Vedic Shastras or the Vedic literatures. Rather, the Vedic literatures say that if a person who has performed sin, he will have to stay in the hell, he will have to inhabit in the hell forever, within such a parameter of time which has no cessation. That means he will have to stay within those hellish planets forever, in the time which has no cessation, which means he has to stay there eternally in the hellish planets. Then that means that it has been a great injustice, because he does not he will not have again a chance, he will not again get a chance to recorrect himself. Because hellish planets are just considered to be like a prison or a jailhouse. So it is not very much useful to say that a person will forever stay in a jail. Okay, sometimes the life sentence is given. But the life sentence is given, but even after life sentence, even after his death, after living entity's death, he is not considered to be life sentenced anymore. As long as the living entity is living, only up to that time he is considered to be in the life sentence. As long as he has life, he is considered to be life sentenced. As long as his life goes away from his body, then he is not to be considered life sentenced. So, even life sentence is not eternal. But according to these different faiths, like Christianity, etc., the presence of the living entities and the suffering of the living entities within these hellish planets is considered to be eternal. And this is not right. This should not be like that. Because living entities should get a chance of correcting themselves, should get a chance of correcting themselves after suffering the punishment. The punishment cannot be eternal forever. And also, so that we can see that there is a bias, there is a great prejudice. And also, according to these faiths, some people who perform pious activities, they will suffer, they will not suffer in hell, rather they will enjoy forever in the paradise. Forever in the paradise. But now the question arises, in these different faiths, there are different discrepancies, there are different discrepancies that arise. And the biggest discrepancy is that if a person performs 50% pious activities in his life and 50% vicious, sinful activities in his life, then whether he should go to heaven or hell? This question they cannot answer. Because they say that if a person goes to hell, he will have to stay forever in the hell. They say that if a person goes to heaven, he has to forever stay in the heaven. So how will they be able to answer this question? And we see that nowadays 99.9% of the living entities, they are not always performing pious activities and they are not always performing sinful activities. Most of the people on this earth, they have a mixture of these two. But the Sanatana Vaidic Dharma explains and harmonizes this controversy, this dispute. It makes the whole conception about hell and heaven very simplified and clarified and crystal clear and transparent without any scope for any type of tinge of doubts. Yes. That is why the Vedic Shastras say, they propound that a person who commits sinful activities, in as much quantity that he commits sinful activities, only according to that proportion, he will stay in the hellish planets only according to that much time. He will not stay forever. According to the lighter degree or the intense degree of the sinful activities that he has performed, he will have to suffer only according to that much time in a proportionate way in hellish planets. He cannot stay in the hellish planets, he cannot suffer there for eternal time, for a time without end. And a person, likewise, for a person who has performed pious meritorious activities, he also cannot stay in the heaven and enjoy in the heaven for eternity. So, this harmonizes the question that if a person performs 50% sinful activities and 50% pious activities, then where he will go? He can never go to hell, he can never go to the heaven. So again, the followers of these faiths, they say, no, if such a person is there, then he has to either stay on this earth or we don't know the answer. So if you say that he has to stay on the earth because he cannot go to hell, if he goes to hell, he has to stay forever. If he goes to heaven, he has to stay forever. But if a person performs 50-50, then you cannot say that he will go to hell because he has also performed pious activities, so he cannot go to hell. And if a person goes to heaven, then he has also performed sinful activities, 50%, so he cannot
he cannot stay in heaven also eternally for eternal time. But so in order to harmonize their stand, they said that okay, a person who has performed 50-50, he will have to stay on this earth planet. But that is also not right. Why that is not right? Because if, and most of the followers of these faiths do not accept even this, only some accept. But even if they accept that the person has to stay on the earth, if he has 50-50 quota, then they are contradicting their own stand on the issue. Because these faiths, they do not believe in the Siddhanta, in the principle of reincarnation, that a person has to again take birth on this earth planet or anywhere else in this universe after forsaking, after relinquishing, after abandoning or rejecting this material body, after coming out from this material gross body, a person has to again take birth, taking on some another material body within some other species. This Siddhanta they do not accept. So they are contradicting their own stand. If they say that a person who has performed 50-50 sinful and vice activities, he has to stay on the earth planet, that means after death, he again has to reincarnate. That means they have to accept the Vedic Siddhanta being forced by these conditions. So the Vedic Dharma is very clear. According to the Vedic Shastras, according to the revealed scriptures, it is very clear that a person only has to stay only up to that much time, either in hell or in heaven, as long as his quota of pious or vicious activities is not completed. And how does the quota of pious and vicious activity gets completed? By enjoyment. If you enjoy either your suffering or your enjoyment, if you experience by experiencing either suffering or enjoyment, either distress or happiness. Distress is found in hellish planets, happiness is found in the celestial planets. So, either by experiencing happiness or distress, your quota of pious and vicious activities gets completed. So, here 27 different types of hellish planets are mentioned at the end of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And another difference is that although the conception of hellish and heavenly planets is found in many different types of artificial faiths which have a beginning in history, but we now know the difference in which way they are describing the inhabitants in hellish planets or heavenly planets, and in which way the Vedic scriptures are describing the inhabitants in either of these planets. The Vedic scriptures are saying that the inhabitants of the living entities in these planets is rather temporal. Whereas these other faiths, the followers of those faiths, they say that the inhabitants of the living entities within these planets, either hell or heaven, is perpetual, continuous. It does not end. So this is the biggest difference. Even though all the religions found on the earth, all the different types of beliefs and faiths found on the earth have the conception of Narak and Swarga, hell and heaven, there is a great difference from their conception to the conception that is propounded in Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic Shastra. Now there is second difference. Second difference is that all the other different faiths and religions and beliefs, they do not have a very clear idea of what hell is and whether hell is singular, dual or plural. Singular means only one type of, dual means two types of, and plural mean three or more than three. So our Vedic Shastras, they say that the heavenly planets are also manifold. In all the other different types of faiths and beliefs, heaven is also of one type and hell is also of one type. And actually they do not even know the name. Heaven is just a title. Hell is also a title. It is not the name. Just like the post of Indra. Indra is a title, is a name of a post. It is not the factual name of a person occupying that post. No, it is a name of a post. Whether that post is vacant or occupied, that post will have that name, Indra. Whether somebody is sitting there on the throne of Indra, occupying that post or not, that post will have the name Indra. But the person who is occupying the post of Indra, his name is certainly different. That just like president or secretary of the state or minister or prime minister, anything like that. In the democratic countries, we see all these different types of administrative positions. So these are the names of the positions. These are the titles of the positions, titles of the posts. They are not the names of a person. So the present Indra, the current Indra, he is known as Purandar. His factual name is Purandar. His factual name is not Indra. Indra is just his title. So in the same sense, hell and heaven, swarga and naraka, these are titles. These are not names. Now, each hellish planet has a different name. As we have already learned, at the end of the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 27 different types of hellish planets. And each hell has a different name. Likewise, there are many, many, manifold, innumerable, multifarious heavenly planets also. And all these heavenly planets also have their different names. And they are all mentioned in a very great elaboration, in a very profound depth, in many different Puranas and other parts of the Shastras. So, the second difference is that, according to the Vedic religion, according to the Sanatana Vedic Dharma, the hells and heaven, the hell and heaven is of many types. And there are different variegated type of, there are different varieties of hellish planets, different varieties of heavenly planets. Each have their own separate name and each have their own separate speciality and existence that characterizes and that makes them different from other likewise heavenly or hellish planets. So, as we saw in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, last part, last chapter, that according to the different types of sinful activities committed, or different types of committable sinful activities, there are different types of hellish planets. For those who are performing papa, papa means sins, for those who are performing sinful activities like intoxication, then for them there is a different heavenly planet. And in, we can see there is a very nice graphic and dynamic picture painted by the artists of Bhaktivedanta Book Trust International, and that picture has also been printed in Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in that picture we can see how a person who drinks intoxication, who performs intoxication, who drinks wine, liquor, beer, brandy, whiskey, who drinks a cigarette, who smokes, etc. For those people, there are different, there is a special type of hellish planet, and in that hellish planet, if that person goes, he has to also drink, but he has to not drink a wine there, rather he has to drink melted hot iron juice. And who make this event happen or occur? The Yamadutas, the servants of Yamaraj, they are the ones who make this event occur. They are the ones who bind that living entity by his hands and by his legs and who forcefully make him drink this hot melted juice of iron without his desire. Forcibly they make him drink. So for those people who have committed other types of sins, just like illicit sex is also considered to be a sin, so for them there is an arrangement that they can go to a specific type of hell. There are many different types of, just like Maharaurav is there, Raurav is there, Kumbhipak is there, Krimi Garth is there. There are many different types of, in some hellish planets, there are worms, there are stools, there is bile, there is semen, there is blood, there is mucus, there is scuff. And in the ocean of these things, the living entity is made forcibly plunged into. So, if a person who has performed illicit sex, then he has to, the Yamadutas, they make him embrace the hot iron statue of a woman or a man, depending on whether that person was woman or man in his previous past life as a human being. But the most important point to be considered is that only human beings have to either, only they have eligibility to either go into heaven or hell. The animals, the birds, the reptiles, the aquatics, the plants, trees, the herbivores, carnivores, and all the different types of like virus, bacteria, all these amoeba, and all these different types of plasmodium, all these different types of either microscopic, gross or subtle living entities, except for the human beings, they have no right whatsoever to enter directly either into the hellish planets or into the heavenly planets. Why? Because all these other types of species or yonis, except for the human being, human species, manav yoni, homo sapiens, except for the homo sapiens, all these other different types of species are considered to be bhoga yoni. They are not considered to be karma yoni. What does karma? Yoni means species. What does karma yoni mean? Karma yoni means the species in which a living entity upon entering has a right to perform action of his own choice. And bhoga yoni means a species in which if a living entity enters, he has no right to perform any activity of his own choice, whether that be vicious activity, sinful activity or pious meritorious activity. He has no right to perform. He can only enjoy the results of his karmas or activities or actions that he has performed in his human lifetime, past human lifetime. He has no right to commit any new sinful or new pious activity. And that is why it is said that only a human being has a right to enter either into heavenly planets or hellish planets. Or the other different types of species, they have no right because they are bhogyoni. In those species, you can only enjoy or suffer according to the activities you have performed in human lifetime, past human, previous human lifetime. You cannot commit any new sinful or new pious activity. You cannot acquire any new merit or any new vicious quota. That is not possible in these species. Just like it is said that if a human being, he eats animal flesh, then he has committed a sinful activity. But for a lion, if he eats animal flesh, if he hunts his prey, if he hunts his prey and he eats the flesh of his prey, being naturally, that nature is part of his species, it is part of his yoni, that this nature or this swabhava is part of his yoni, and because he is carnivore, he has to kill his prey or another animal, and he has to eat his flesh, and he has to practically enact the principle of jivo jivasya jivanam. Jivo jivasya jivanam means one living entity comprises the life of another living entity. That means lion's life comprises of the lives of many different types of living entities who become his prey. So all, because without eating the flesh of his preys, he cannot maintain his life. That is why lion's life is made up of the lives of many different types of animals whom he hunts. So, jivo jivasya jivanam. But this example is not applicable with the human beings or the manav yoni, the human species. Because manav yoni is considered different from all these other types of species. And that is why manav yoni is considered to be karma yoni, or the species in which a human being has a right to either perform his choicest action, whether sinful or pious. And that is why only human being has direct eligibility to enter into hellish or heavenly planets, naraka or swarga. And that is why all these different types of living entities which are found in the hellish or heavenly planets, they are, in fact, they were human beings in their past lives. You cannot say that they were in any other species except for the Homo sapiens in their past lives before entering into the hellish or heavenly planets. Anyone who has entered hellish or heavenly planets, he was a human being in his past life. That is for sure. That principle, that law is eternal, it is unchangeable, it is immutable. It cannot be changed, it is not amendable. So now here, we will see that now we have summarized the topics that comprised the last part of the fifth canto and also the beginning part of the sixth canto. So, yes. So, as we were explaining about these different types of species or yonis, okay, so one point has remained unexplained yet. So, this living entity, he enters either into heavenly planets or hellish planets, but it is said that even after he is put into this Agni Kunda or this fireplace, he is put into this lake of fire, but still he does not die. It is mentioned in the last portion of Srimad Bhagavatam that when these living entities, they enter into hellish planets, they suffer in those hellish planets for thousands and thousands of years, depending on the seriousness of their sinful activities and the intensity of their sinful activities. Whether the density of their sinful activities committed is intense or very light, it depends upon them. But no matter what type of sinful activity he has committed, he has to stay for a number of years there, whether that may be 100 years, 50 years, or thousands or millions of years. So now the question arises that, you know, there are many different types of hellish planets, and in some hellish planets, a living entity is put into such a condition that if a human being was to be put into such a condition, he could not survive, his body could not survive, even for a fragment of a time, even for 1 second. Just like it is said that the heat, there is one hellish planet wherein the heat is so intense that it surpasses even 1000 degrees Celsius or 1000 degrees Fahrenheit of heat. So in that kind of temperature, normally, not just a human being, no other species can survive. So our question arises that it is said that the form that is given, that is allotted to, that is awarded to the living entity, that is bestowed upon the living entity who enters into hellish planets for the purpose of suffering, for the sake of suffering, unto that living entity, a human-like form is awarded or given by Yamraj, but it is not a human form. It is not exactly a human form, it is like human form. That form also has two feet, two legs, two hands, mouth, two eyes, two ears, etc. Everything just like human being. It is shaped, it is sized, just like a human body. But it is not human body. It is not as gross as the human body. Human body is the grossest type of body. Gross here does not mean something filthy or nefarious. Because according to American slang, the word gross is taken to be filthy or nefarious or dirty. But here the word gross rather means something physical. Gross has many meanings. We are not taking the slang meaning here. We are taking the standard meaning found in the Oxford British Dictionary. So gross here means something physical. So the human body, which is right now we are occupying, this human body is completely gross. That means it is completely on a... it is not subtle. It is rather on the physical level. It is not on the mental or subtle level. So, but the body which is awarded to the living entity in these hellish planets is, although it resembles the human body, but it is not. It, although that body is also made up of the same three modes of material nature, but that body is still different from this physical gross human body, in the sense that that body is not made up of the five different material elements. It is also not a subtle body like the mind, intelligence and false ego. You see, now here the acharyas have explained in their commentaries to different shastras in different times and places, they have explained that there are actually four types of bodies. The first type of body is known as gross body, which is the physical body, which can be seen, which can be touched, which can be experienced very easily, without any endeavor, without any effort, which can be realized and which can be visualized and which can be practically perceived on a physical level. This is our gross body. Then comes subtle body. Subtle body comprises of four inner parts, four inner constituents like mind, intelligence, false ego, and the storehouse for subtle expressions. Storehouse for subtle expressions means chitta. Chitta is the fourth part of antahkaran or the subtle body. Antahkaran or subtle body has four parts, and the last and the fourth part is known as chitta, wherein the previous samskaras or subtle expressions of the activities and deeds performed in previous lifetimes are stored. So chitta, mind, intelligence and false ego, mana, buddhi, ahankar and chitta. These are four portions, four constituents of the subtle body, sukshma sharir, subtle body. Gross body means five knowledge acquiring senses, pancha gyanendriya, five action performing senses, pancha karmendriya, and the gross material body. The gross material body, along with five knowledge acquiring, five action performing, 10 senses, is known as physical gross body. Then comes the subtle body, which is fourfold, mind, intelligence, ego, and the chitta, or the subtle expressions. And there is a third type of body, which is known as causal body. And this causal body is also known as karana sharir in the Sankhya Darshan. In the Sankhya Darshan, Sankhya system of philosophy, this causal body is known as karana sharir. And what is karana sharir? Karana sharir are those actions. You see, chitta, which was one portion of the subtle body, chitta means the expressions, the subtle expressions, imprints of the actions performed. Sanskar. Chitta is the storehouse for samskaras. But causal body is not the storehouse for samskaras. Rather, causal body is the fate. Causal body is nothing except for the fate or the bhagya or the daiva, which is also known as niyati. In Sanskrit, there are many synonymous words like niyati, daiva, bhagya, vidhan, etc. And this bhagya or fortune is of two types. Some fortunes arise out of pious activities, some fortunes arise out of sinful activities. And it is the fortune which makes living entity suffer either his sinful or his pious activities. Because the activities are completed as soon as they are performed. As soon as they are performed, the activities are completed, whether they be pious activities or sinful activities, whether they be papa karma or punya karma, the activity is completed as soon as we perform it. But what makes that, the result of that activity, what makes one suffer either happiness or distress based on that activity after many millions of lifetimes? That is the question that has arisen. While explaining the Siddhanta of Karma. The Siddhanta of Karma states that if a person has performed either pap or punya, it is not necessary that he will have to suffer the results of his pap and punya. The result of punya is happiness, the result of pap is distress, dukkha, sukha and dukkha. So, the sukha and dukkha, which are the results of pap and punya, it is not necessary, it is not essential, it is not mandatory or compulsory that the results of these papas and punyas will have to be experienced in this very lifetime. They may be experienced after 1 million lifetimes. Like in the case of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra experienced the results of his sinful activities after 50 lifetimes. It is mentioned in Mahabharata. So what makes that activity and the influence of that activity continue? The activity has completed, just like a person, he performs murder. When he has committed murder, after the completion of that activity, after the completion of murder, which murder is also an activity, so after the completion of murder, that sinful activity has already terminated, it has already stopped and completed, it has been aborted. But what makes that activity continue its influence upon the performer of that activity even after millions of lifetimes? That is known as bhagya or fortune. And that is what causal body is. As soon as you perform some type of karma, either shubha or ashubha, either auspicious or inauspicious, does not matter. As soon as you perform some type of karma, that karma, the gross form of that activity, the gross form of that karma ends, ceases. But the subtle form of that karma exists and does not cease even after innumerable lifetimes until and unless the living entity experiences the result of that karma. And that subtle form of karma which continues with the living entity wherever he goes, in whichever part of the universe, until he experiences the result of that karma, that certain type of karma is known as bhagya or fortune. And this bhagya or fortune is known as karana sharir, causal body, because it acts as a cause, it acts as a karana for the living entity to take on another type of body within the 84 million types of species. The activities or the karmas, they are the one, they are the cause, they are the cause. Which make living entities transmigrate from one body to another body. That is why the subtle form of the karmas, bhagya, fortune, that is known as causal body, karan sharir. And then there is fourth type of body, which is, so causal body is also subtle. Subtle body is also subtle, it cannot be seen physically. Causal body is also subtle, it cannot be seen physically. And then there is fourth type of body, which is known as Yatra Yoni Yatra Sharir. And this Yatra Yoni or Yatra Sharir is that particular type of body which living entity acquires and assumes once he enters the hellish planets. Once the living entity enters hellish planets, he has to acquire Yatra Yoni, and Yatra Yoni exactly resembles the human body. But it is not gross like human body. It is subtle, just like the causal body and the subtle body. So among the four types of material bodies, only the gross body is gross. And the other three types of bodies, material bodies, like subtle body, causal body and yatra sharir, which means the suffering body or the body which is given to the living entity, especially for the purpose of suffering. This body has a speciality that since it is not gross like the human body, but since it exactly resembles the human body, a person who is embodied within this yatra yoni, he experiences the pains of the hellish planets just as if he were to experience those same pains while being present in this gross body, on this earthly planet. Just like if a person, just like a human being, if his finger is put into fire, he will experience the pain. So same type of pain, a person who is within the yatra sharir, in the hellish planet, he will also experience, he is also put into fire. But the difference is, because his body also resembles human body. That is why the pain, that the type of pain which human body experiences, the same type of pain yatra sharir will also experience if it is put into same circumstance. But the difference is that because yatra sharir is not made up of the same elements as this human gross body is, that is why it continues to exist even after being put into an intense degree of heat and fire, which can even surpass and excel 600 degrees Fahrenheit. That is the difference. That is why these four types of bodies, gross body, subtle body, causal body, and the body which is given in the hellish planets, yatra sharir, all these four types of body are material. They are made of the combination of the mixtures of the three modes of material nature. But among these four, only the gross body is gross, whereas the other three, the yatra sharir, the subtle body and the causal body, they are subtler, and that is why they cannot be directly seen by our naked eyes, unaided eyes. And all of these bodies, they form a covering on top of the living entity, they cover him, and they are the products of the three modes of material nature. And this is how the living entity, he becomes bound by these different types of bodies, and he becomes bound to suffer pains in the hellish planets And now, because the time is up, so we will conclude our class. And from tomorrow, we will again try to speak on the context. Anybody has any question or inquiry? Okay. In Garuda Purana, I would just like to mention that in Garuda Purana, in approximately 30 to 40 different chapters, a detailed process of how living entity, when he comes out of this human body, if he is pious activity performer, then how does he proceed further? And if he is sinful activity performer, then how does he proceed further? This detailed process is given there, and in the Garuda Purana it is mentioned in very great detail about the different aspects of the Yatana Sharir, the different aspects of this special body given to the living entity to suffer the pains of the hellish planet, and the different aspects of the Yatana Sharira's personality are all mentioned in Garuda Purana. So that was very nice anecdote to be put here into the context. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Yes, Madam. Okay.
It's about when the living entity falls. I've heard a few times in the past, I think I remember, but I've read it in Prabhupada's conversation, that the first place that he falls at is Brahma. Is that true, or you probably know what to talk about it? When the first living entity does, do we take a form of Brahma?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the question is that when the living entity falls from the spiritual world, I heard in classes before that the first form that the living entity takes is the form of Lord Brahma. But then
there is beginning of the Desha. Or any time, you know, the Brahma, everybody cannot become Brahma.
Yeah, actually the Shastras are very clear about this. Brahma is a very special post.
Yeah.
Not every living entity falling down can become Brahma. Only some particular who are so highly qualified. Otherwise, you see, there are innumerable living entities. They should all have become Brahmas. But we don't see that.
Not when they go up, but when they come down.
Even though coming down,
yeah.
Yeah, Brahma can fall down. According to desire,
come
down for that.
Yeah.
But everybody doesn't become
wrong. But you see, another. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Mataji, another thing is, in the Shastras, like Srimad Bhagavatam itself, there are many shlokas which describe that Brahma becomes liberated. So there is no question of his falling down further.
That's not what I'm asking, I'm sorry. What I'm asking is, when the living entity falls from
yes.
the spiritual world.
Yes, yes.
That's a different.
Yes, yes, yes. But it is said that Brahma, he becomes liberated after his completion of his post. So it seems as if Brahma is in the liberation process. He is not in that process of coming down. So only some Brahmas, we can say, some living entities can be considered to be those living entities who are falling down, and they can hire the post of Brahma. Otherwise, normally the post of Brahma is occupied by those living entities who are going upwards, not going downwards. Because it is said that if one performs his Varnashrama Dharma duties perfectly for 100 lifetimes, he becomes elevated to the post of Brahma. So it seems otherwise, actually. But there may be an exceptional case for that. So the exceptional case, as you said, Srila Prabhupada, what he mentions, that is an exceptional case. Sometimes the living entity is coming from there to the material world. They can occupy the place of Brahma, but that is only an exception. That is not the normal case.
In the sense, Bhagavad Gita says, Atma Bhuvana Loka.
Punaravartino Arjuna.
So one who even one can become Brahma, self can fall down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, many living as it is, may have performed so much pious activity to become Brahma, to come down. So, your question is originally from spiritual world down to Brahma. There is a controversial question, controversial thing.
Actually, that question is also, because that question is based upon whether the living entity really falls down from the spiritual world or not. And that question, you know, is already in the controversy.
So that is the biggest problem. So we don't want to get into that.
Yes.
Only Prabhupada says, here in a house where the fire is, please try to get out of here. You don't find out how it started, the fire. Otherwise, that no end to that controversy. There are books and books, and people have gone here and there, and even within ISKCON there are so many problems. That's not a
problem. Okay. Hare Krishna.
One question I have.
Okay.
The four different types of bodies. Gross body stays here. Subtle body goes.
Subtle body goes with the living entity.
Right. But the
causal body also goes with the living entity.
In other words, within this body, there is a subtle body, a causal body, and
a gross body.
Gross body is there.
Is outside.
Gross body.
Yeah. There is subtle body and causal body.
Subtle body.
Yeah.
And then causal body.
Yeah.
And
Yatna body is not, right now we don't have. Only if we go to hell, we get it.
It's given.
Yeah, it's given. And as soon as we come out of hell, it is again took back. It is again taken back by Yamraja.
Hindu sastras, they say, that they say that if father dies and the son doesn't give pindadan, that subtle body hovers around here.
Yeah.
And then becomes a preta yoni.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to Yamaloka. So I don't know what preta yoni means.
Preta yoni means the ghost, the ghost species.
Ghost species, right. Yeah. Everybody doesn't. Everybody becomes ghost. They acquire preta yoni. That was said in the Hindu sakya.
Yes.
If the
The Garuda Purana says that.
Last sanskar is not done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they will become ghosts.
It remains, you know.
Yeah, they will become ghosts.
And
so,
preta means not ghost.
Yeah, it does not really mean ghost. It
often says... Now, after you give up this body, and then we address as a preta.
Yes.
And then, from preta, you become pitta. This is what
happens. Actually, preta is a special state of existence between the yatra sharir and the human body. Means the living entity has already left the human body, but he has not so far gone to the hellish planets in front of Yamraj.
So you have the antarkarana.
Yeah.
That subtle body is there.
Yes, subtle body is there.
So subtle body.
And there is no mention that he receives any special type of preta yoni. Preta yoni is actually subtle body itself.
Right.
Is known as preta yoni here.
See, that's where after preta it becomes pitri.
Yeah.
This is what it's in written.
No. Pitri
Lok
is different.
No, it is different. But planet. After judgment, he becomes Pitri or he goes to hell, whatever.
No, Pitri Lok is different. Aryama is the in charge of Pitri Lok.
Aryama is the chief of all the forefathers.
And especially forefathers, they reside in the Pitri Lok.
Yes. The forefathers.
But which forefathers live?
Well, say that, you know, they can go, you know, on higher planet, but they have, you know, some less punya.
Yeah.
So they just wait for...
But first, they still have to go in front of Dharmaraj.
Yeah.
And then he will decide where you will go. That is the office where you have to go first. And then he will tell you where to go. Either to Pitriloka or to Swargaloka or to Earth planet back or to the Hellish planet. These are the four choices.
Any other yoni.
Yeah, or any other yoni.
But the question is again, when for ordinary people, except devotees, they have to go through all this process. When the his body is snatched out by Yamadutta, they beat him. Take him on a hot path.
That is only for papatmas. That is not the case with the punyatmas. You see, there are two forms of Yamraj mentioned in Garuda Purana.
What is that?
One is known as Dharmaraj and the other is known as Yamraj.
Yeah.
So also we see in Mahabharata, it's the same person appearing in two different forms, in two different parts of Sanyamanipuri.
Yeah.
Sanyamanipuri is the planet of Yamraj. But the Sanyamanipuri has two parts. One part Dharmaraja recites, another part the Yamaraja recites. Same personality with two forms. So Yamaraja, he is
the one, forms,
yeah,
mentioned
in Garuda Purana, very clear.
Yeah.
So Yamaraja, he is the one who has very fearsome form. He is a fearsome form, bhayanak sharir. Yeah, and the Dharmaraja, he has very saumya rupa. Saumya rupa means very gentle form. So the punyatmas and even the forefathers, who are going to be forefathers, even those living entities who are going to be forefathers or demigods, or those living entities who are going to again come back to the earth planet or to any other different species, they go to Dharmaraj. But those living entities for whom it is fixed that they are going to suffer in the hell, they are taken by the Yamdutas to the Yamaraj. And even the Yamadutas are of two types. For those who are Punyatmas, the Yamdutas are not fearsome and not, they are not as, you know, panic creating and fear creating. Whereas those Yamadutas who take the papatmas or the sinful living entities, they are, their outer forms, complexion, countenance, their dress, everything is so fearful that just upon beholding their form, living entity becomes frightened. So that is the difference. Two kinds of services for two types of departed souls.
Waiting
it's like a transition period before going to heaven.
Right.
So they need some help from family members.
Yeah.
We experience that even on the earthly planet. If you're a follower of the law, they bring you to an office and they are respectful. And if you're not following, then they really give you a hard time.
Oh yes.
So it's a mini plan, mini hell, mini heaven.
Yeah. This is actually mini heaven, mini hell. This is considered to be.
This is a sample.
This sample. Is just a sample. Yes.
It's a backward sample.
Some of the stories are fabricated sometimes because of the rumors and different types of traditional stories which are not found in the Shastra.
Some of them are like stories that four fathers are hanging on the tree upside down.
No, actually that story is real. That is not fabricated. That is mentioned in Mahabharata itself.
So that's why
But there are different cases, even among forefathers, not all types of forefathers have to pass through the same. So there are many different exception rules and all that. And only Yamaraj knows about all these different rules. We only know limited rules. So we cannot know what type of forefathers they hang on the trees and all that. And then there is also a story that there is a special type of rishis known as Valkhilyas.
Yeah.
Sometimes they also hang downward on the trees. And when Garudji was going there to take the Amrita pot, nectar pot from heaven, he also met these Valakhilya rishis on that branch of a tree. They were hanging upside down. So in Mahabharata this is mentioned. So there are many different types of rules and cases. But some are exceptional cases and only Yamaraja may know the minute detail about these different types of cases.
So again, there is that Yamaraj is a post.
Yeah, it's a post. It's not
so,
the name.
Person changes.
Yeah.
But same time, that personal person who changes must have dual personality.
Oh yeah, he has dual personality.
Jekyll and Hyde.
For Dharmatmas, he appears. For Dharmatmas, he appears as Dharmaraj.
Yes.
For Papatmas, he appears as Yamraj. And that is why we see that Yamraj in Mahabharata incarnates as Vidur and Yamraj. And Dharmaraj in Mahabharata incarnates as Yudhishthir. And we see that Yudhishthir and Vidur have a very special relation in Mahabharata.
But
they are counterparts.
But the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought that they were Amsa.
Yeah, they were Amshas. Yeah. They were not full incarnations.
So, again,
no, I think Vidur was full incarnation.
Yeah, Vidur was full.
Aryama had to become Yamraj.
Aryama, the chief of the forefathers, he occupied the post of Yamraj for those many years, that 100 years for that Yamraj had to become Vidur. So, Yamraj himself has become Vidur, whereas Dharmaraj only partially incarnated as Yudhishthir. That is...
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are many different versions of the same story. Just like if you will see the end of, you know, what happens to Yudhishthir, I mean, no, what happens to Vidur, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. As it is mentioned in the 16th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that differs greatly from what Mahabharata's last section of Mahabharata describes the same story in a very different way. So, different versions of the same story.
Why they have to go to Swarga?
Swarga Rohan Parva and Mahaprasthan Parva.
But if they were associated with Krishna.
Yeah, that controversy, you know, the Acharyas have resolved, and I have also tried to explain and you know, resolve that controversy many times in my lectures. Actually, the thing is, they were not only associates, they were also the incarnations of different demigods.
Yeah.
So, just like you see in Kavi Karnapura's Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, you will see that, you know, just in the case of Advaita Acharya is not only Mahavishnu, he is also Sadashiva's incarnation.
Yeah.
So, there are many different, like Haridas Thakur, Kavi Karnapura considers him to be incarnation of Brahma, but other Acharyas, they consider him to be incarnation of Prahlad. So then it is accepted to reconcile both of the different viewpoints. It is accepted that Haridas Thakur was the incarnation of both. So Kavi Karnapura mentions that you know, Raghunath Das Goswami is rather Rasamanjari or Ragamanjari.
Yeah.
But the most popular belief is that he is Ratimanjari.
Yeah.
So now these two different types of controversies, they are resolved when we accept that Raghunath Das Goswami was the combined incarnation of both. So in the same way, I don't think there is much to this problem. The only final solution is that the Pandavas were both the partial incarnations or expansions of the demigods of heaven like Indra, Surya, etc. And they were also eternal associates of the Lord. So actually they were eternal associates of the Lord in Dwarka Leela, but in their personality, the partial expansions of these demigods had also become merged. So just like Arjuna is also Nar. He's also incarnation of Indra. He's also Nara's incarnation, Nar and Narayan. He's also Nara's incarnation. But he's not only Nara's incarnation. He also has a third personality. And the third personality Arjuna has is that he's also as Arjun in the Nitya Leela of Dwarka. Although Nara is Swansha of Arjun. Nara is a Swansha of Arjun. He is not within Nansha. He is not separated part and parcel. He is non-separated part and parcel of Arjun of the Dwarka Leela, Nitya Dwarka Leela, Eternal Dwarka Leela. So Nara and Arjun are both the same personality. But the expansion of Indra that has entered into Arjuna, that is completely different from either the Nara or the Arjuna. That is why only that expansion which had entered into, only that expansion of Indra which had entered into Arjuna's personality, only that expansion again became separated from the original Arjuna and entered into heaven. Whereas the original Arjuna along with Nara entered into the spiritual world. The Nara entered into Vaikuntha and the Arjuna entered into the Nitya Dwarka Leela. So that is, you know, Nara is different, Arjuna is different, but Nara and Arjuna are both, Nara is the swansh of Arjuna. Whereas Indra's expansion is not any way related to either with Nara or Arjuna. Because Nara is also transcendental and Arjuna is also transcendental.
So, but in Yudhisthira,
yeah,
we have to see hell for a while.
Yes.
What portion of Kshatriya? That is, Yamaraj is counselor or what? Because that must be Yamaraj is counselor.
He was Dharmaraja's ansha, Yudhishthir. But you know that it is explained by the commentators on Mahabharata. I mean, no Vaishnavacharya has commented on Mahabharata. Madhvacharya has commented, but he has not commented on each and every verse of Mahabharata. He has only given, his commentary is only like a summary type of commentary. So Madhvacharya has written Bharata Tatparya, that commentary which decides about the real interpretation or the real meaning of Mahabharata. And there is another commentator known as Nilkantha Acharya. He is from the Shaiva Sampradaya. He has also commented on Mahabharata. So these are the only two commentators available up to the date on Mahabharata. So both of these two commentators agree while commenting on that portion of Mahabharata that the Yudhishthir, actually he was not on fault. But just for the sake of establishing ideology, ideal example,
yeah.
Lok Sangraha, this is also called Lok Sangraha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Lok Sangraha tenapi sampashyan kartum arhati. Lord Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita in the third and fourth chapter, I don't know exactly which one, there is one shloka, second line runs like this, Lok Sangraha me vapis sampashyan kartum arhati. So Arjuna has asked to the Lord, that the jnanis, they don't have to perform any karma. But why it is seen that even they are performing karma? So then Krishna gives an example of jnanis like Janak, King Janaka. And he says that even King Janak, even though he is jnani, he does not have to perform any karma, still he performs karma, just to set an example for the common public. Yad yad acharati shreshtaha. So in the same way, Yudhishthir has also set an example that if a person, you know, he speaks lie, if he does not speak truth, then he has to either go into hell or he has to either suffer the result of his lying, at least up to some extent. So just in order to set that example, otherwise pap and punya, they cannot touch the personality of Yudhishthir, because he is the eternal associate of Lord Vasudev in the Nitya Dwarka Leela. Eternal Dwarka pastimes. Pap and Punya cannot touch them, the eternal associates of the Lord. And even if we accept that, okay, apart from his being eternal associates of Lords in Dwarka Leela, he is also an incarnation of Dharmaraj, who is a demigod, who is not in Dwarka Leela, who is still bound into the material existence. Dharmaraj and all the other different demigods like Indra, they are all bound within this material world. They are not like the eternal associates of the Lord. So even if we take Yudhishthir to be partial incarnation of Dharmaraj, but even Dharmaraj cannot be bound by sinful activities or pious activities, because only while a person is in human form, he can be bound by sin or pious activity. Because human form is known as karma yoni. Only in human form, you can be bound by papa and punya. You cannot be bound by papa and punya if you are in deva yoni, if you are in the body of a demigod. So even if you accept that Yudhishthira was the incarnation of Dharmaraj, still he does not become bound upon speaking that lie. Because that is bhoga yoni, that is not karma yoni. So in any sense, Yudhishthira is not compelled or forced to experience that hellish scene. But just in order to set an example for the common public, he has experienced, or it seems that he has experienced that type of pain. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any type of comment?
There was just one more thing about that same thing.
Yeah.
That he had to see hell not because he lied.
Yeah. Actually, he did not lie at all. Narova Kunjarova.
Yeah, Narova Kunjarova, that was his ego.
Yeah, he did not speak the truth.
He didn't want to,
disclose the truth.
He was thinking, I am Satyavadi.
Yeah.
I cannot simply lie.
Yeah.
That's why he spoke Narova Kunjarova.
Yeah.
Actually, he hesitated to
speak the truth.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
When Krishna told him, say this thing.
Yeah.
He didn't do that.
Yeah.
He thought, I should not speak lie. So he spoke Narvakundra.
Yeah.
That's what Krishna, that is, because he hesitated to act upon Krishna's order.
Yes.
That was his fault.
Yes. So now, even Arjuna, even though he is eternal associate of Krishna in Dwarka Leela, it seems he also hesitated to follow Krishna's order of fighting. Yeah. So yeah, this is actually the eternal associate of the Lord is not put into an illusion, and it is not because of illusion that he hesitates to follow Lord's order. Rather, this illusion, it seems like illusion or bewilderment on the part of the associate of the Lord. But the associates of the Lord are not put into the illusion created by the external potency, Mahamaya. Rather, they are put into a different type of illusion created by the Yogamaya, the internal potency, just in order to make the Lord's pastimes variegated and full of variety. So Yudhishthira also, he was not under the influence of Tamogun, Rajogun or Satogun when he did not follow the advice of the Lord. Rather, that was all created by the Yogamaya actually.
Yeah.
That is a great difference. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Nirvanam, Hare Hare Gaur, Hare Krishna.